January 19, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com. And you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Hunger arises to protect the mortal. Now, when we get hungry, what is it? It is the body itself, isn't it? It is the material body itself reacting to the need to keep itself, to keep its life. So the body pains here. It wants some food, its life. It wants to hold its life. Hunger and fear are both mortal things. They are based in the mortal being, and they are urges that arises for the protection of the mortal being. Hunger is sustain us materially or biologically, and fear to protect the biological body. So fear cools, slows down like winter. So then look at winter and summer. You know fear is a coolant, so when fear really gets you, it slows you down. It stops you. Fear can stop you. It can make your heart slow down. Everything slows down. And fear has been associated or compared with coolness, and hunger is heat. So when you get hungry, you get irritable. You are inclined to get hot-headed, go into rage when you get hungry. But fear is like the winter. It cools you. It cools you down. It slows you down. It makes you afraid to act. So these things are in twos. Now the Quraysh are given protection against these things, against winter and summer. And lastly, it says, he feeds you against hunger and he keeps you safe from fear. So we need security, see? So we need to feel secure from the fear placed upon our being, etc. So our threat to our will, to our well-being, and we need food to feed us to keep us from being given to fear. So we want those things to eat. Winter, spiritually, summer, social. So winter now is referred to the spiritual side of man's life. Summer is referred to the social side of man's life. Fear, the spiritual side. Summer, the social side. فَيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ فَيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. So therefore, worship the Lord of this house. So if we are correct in saying that the quality are here in Quraysh, the chapter is addressing is the social consciousness, the social sentiment, the social bond. Then it says, God says, then worship the Lord of this house. Then the house must also be a symbol of the social consciousness, the social bond, and we find that as a universal symbol. It ties all men together in one social family. Quran Surah 108, Ayat 1 to 2, we give you Fountain, Al Hadith, page 2, 584 and 9. Meet me at the fount. The Prophet, what was his second creation? The creation of a new intellect. Allah created upon the original intellect another intellect. So he's created him over him. He's created him over him again. He becomes a new intellect. And he said things that made the people wonder, is this the same Muhammad? He was a new Muhammad, the same man, you know. That's the same man that we know him. This Muhammad, that's the same man. We know his character. That's him. So where is he getting his mind from? Where is ideas coming? So Allah created him over and complemented the excellence that was already there. Now, the second one, we don't have a revelation. The first one we do have. So we have that potential to be that. So dear Muslims, if we follow, if we come into that nature, try to be in our nature, and excellent and obedient, as excellent as we can, and we follow the Quran and the Muhammad reaches that Muhammad revealed, Muhammad will guide us to a second level of creation. Yes. Muhammad will guide us to the secondary creation. What did he tell his followers? Meet me at the place. Meet me at the water place, watering place. And when the philosophical, the ulama, many of them, they understand not just when we are dead, but on this earth that we will grow and prosper as Muslim thinkers, as the Muslims, that are obeying God in our spirit until we become such fine and excellent creatures that God won't withhold anything from us that we can earn. Man, progress yet to be done. The Quran, Surah 108, give you abundance. So if we can understand that God has created us for great accomplishments far beyond our imagination, most likely we have gone a long way, but don't think that's the end. We can go much further. I'm talking about progressive man. He can go much further. In fact, Allah says there is no end to the progress that comes to his servants that obeys him. Say he has created things that you know and don't know, and you cannot exalt the resources. That's what Allah says to us. There is no way to use up the resources. The Quran, Surah 108, Ayat, give you abundance. So you look at the word life, you see life. But if you look at the word death, you see eat in it. And Allah says in the Quran, surely we have given you abundance of good, and Allah says also the going after abundance, amounting, piling up wealth, will stay on you until you come to the grave. It's something that becomes hypnotic, automatic, almost, in your life, and it stays on you, causes you to lose moral conscience, and you just keep going after it compulsively, without any ability to resist going after the world or material plenty. Where is it carrying you? To the grave, to hell, destruction of your human nature, your good life, your good soul. That's where it's carrying you. But you see what I did? I gave you a reference of abundance in a good sense. God wants you to have abundance. And at the same time, God wants you going after it will bring you to the grave, the death of your humanity. The Quran, Surah 108, Ayat 1, Kawthar Fountain, John 10:10, life has it more abundantly. So those faithful students and scholars of Quran, they accept what God has revealed and they believe that the book is enough for us until the day of judgment. And no matter how long we human beings live on this earth, it will be supplying them with guidance, with the light and guidance and the way to have life. The Quran is the word of God. And the Quran feeds life on all levels, So the most, the Quran, Surah 109, Ayat 6, freedom of religion. So we should stand for the freedom of religion. If anyone's religion is threatened by someone who wants to deny them the right to have religion, it is the Muslim leaders who should come to the side of that person and say, no, God has ordered freedom of religion. God says, say to the people who seriously differ with you, say to them, to you, your religion, and to me, my religion. Stone, devil, Iblis. The Quran, Surah 109, Ayat 1, Collection, Chain, Hadiths, page 243 and 852. Speak with Allah, there is not even a veil between you. The Quran says, O you rejecters of faith or disbelievers, I do not worship what you worship. And the word worship, you know, comes from the word servant, and before al-Islam it meant slave. But now it's the text of the Quran. It does not mean slave, it means servant. But in the language of the society, it still means slave. So Ab is still slave, servant. And slave means both. God wants us to know that we are not to give our life to any master except him. You give service, but don't give your life to any master except God, nothing but God, to determine the limits of your thinking, the limits of your movement, the limits of your work, no one but God. Man would say, I don't call you son because you are mine. I call you son because you're sad. So this word is powerful for helping to bring about social justice, equality for people. That this Arab term, as God says that, that's the best. He didn't say it. But we know that the learned ones in the tradition of our prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, they say that there is no name or title for man more dignified, more noble, or higher in its meaning or its value than the term Abd of God. So God created man without anybody's help. Servant of Allah. God refers to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, as his abd, and he says to all of us that we are all his abds. When he says, Ya Ibadullah, translated, oh, my servants, that expression addresses both female and male. It is speaking to all human beings. So if we are his servants, and the root meaning or the history of the world takes us back to its meaning, slave, then God is saying that no one can have you as a slave. He claims us, and no one else can have a better claim on us as a slave. In the Hadith, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, says, we should know that nothing separates the servant from his master, not even the veil. Not even a petition. Then like a veil, there is nothing separating man from God. The servant can call directly on his God. He needs no mediator, no intercessor, no priest, no monk, no imam, no rabbi. He doesn't need anybody. He calls directly to his God. Isn't that the way it is supposed to be? If God created me without you, how come I have to call him through you? I really like the word Prophet Abraham gave. He told the big ruler, the one who created me shall guide me. And that's a good way to get another view. Look at Abraham to see him a little clearer. So where is the guidance in creation? The guidance for any form of life is in its created body. Science is the guidance for treating all forms of life, study of that form of life. So the guidance is in this creation. It is in its form. So that is where the guidance is. That's why you just, anybody can't be a doctor. You can't guess at the treatment. It is scientific. The guidance is in the created thing. So that is what Abraham was telling this arrogant ruler. You think you know everything, but no, you are ignorant. You are following guesswork. You are nothing but an advanced, wealthy, rich doctor. Here I'm coming with the truth, and you have false magic. The one who created me shall guide me. And that's the meaning of Kalika for Sawa Kadira Fahada. Sawa Kadira Fahada. In four steps he created, then he balanced everything. That is laws if things are balanced. It means these things are governed by laws, Kadira. Then he empowered the intellect. That is talking about the intellect, but the same thing happened with creation itself. God has created matter so it comes willingly or unwillingly to the order that God intends for it. So it is not in agreement, then there is a strain in the matter to conform to the law intended for that matter. It might explode and then find its adjustment, or it might by some other activity come to its adjustment, but it's going to come to its adjustment because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it all for peace, so it has to have its peace. So far, the intellect straining for the guidance, the intellect strains and strains with issues that the intellect wants to see in some kind of rational order or agreement. The intellect strains and strains. That is what is termed Kadira. It refers to the after a while, the light comes on. It happens. And the intellect know that this is the answer. So this is how it's supposed to be settled, or this is how this is supposed to be stated or composed, etc. And with that is the guidance. So there is the guidance. And the intellect will keep working with it after the light has come on, turned on, in a mysterious way, intuition, cognition, etc. The light is on now, and the intellect begins to work on what it saw. Kadira refers to strain of mind that leads to guidance. Lightning, symbolic of people following intuitive, but not revelation. So those who won't follow revelation, and they follow nothing but the intuitive light, there are those who wait for the thunder and the lightning. And when the lightning flashes, they walk a little bit. And it goes out, off, and they are at a standstill. The same God who gave you the intuitive power also gives you revelation. So don't be satisfied with just that. Still seek God in time. He will give you revelation, revealed knowledge that came to the prophets, as we know. Say to the rejecters of faith, I do not worship what you worship, and you are not worshiping what I worship, and I am not worshiping what you worship, or I am not worshiping what you are set upon worshiping. It is a little stronger here. And you are not worshiping what I worship. So for you, your way, your deen. And for me, my deen. And that's the notice, my deen has not the possessive. Because this is not an individual religion. It is a universal religion of mankind. So it is not nice for us to say in this particular discussion with rejectors, my religion with some kind of special pride or some kind of special sense of possession. No, it's the religion of mankind, so pay down your possession of it. Do not put the long vowel double E on it. Just put the little vowel kasra E. Don't say my holding is long, but say my real quickly and keep going. Like some people say, my God. That is too long. He is not just your God. He is our God. Ufda, man, means a knot, your firm conviction resolution. So you accept what he says and you find yourself breaking the law. You wake up one morning and you say, good God, I have broken all the law. I didn't know I had slipped into this kind of thinking. The word ukud here is from the Arabic root word ukada, which means a knot. And this is firm conviction, meaning your resolution or firm conviction. And I seek refuge from the harm or the evil of the envier when he envies. These are prayers. They are chapters, but also prayers. I would advise you to pray these prayers. This world is too much for us. We can't manage it, but God will help us. And his help that he gives is to help. All of this is universal. Every society has come under the influence or has been tempted by the Satan. And every society has had its magic and its witchcraft. Another chapter says, say, I seek refuge with the Lord of humanity, mankind of all people. So you see, every one of these verses, we are calling on God himself. They are directed to God in the Quran. It says to be not of the kafir, the rejecter of faith, but be not of the church, the polytheist, declaring the oneness of God. He is a must. Here it is a must to have protection from the Lord of the dawn. We know this is daybreak, light. It says, I seek refuge with the Lord of the light. There is the Lord of the light. It is not just light created, but the Lord of the light. The creator, the Lord of the light, or the one who started the light. The one who caused light to be. He is the one to progress that light, to take that light from beginning to end, stage by stage. It is a progression for the light. Now, if something interrupts that order and brings about darkness or confusion in the progression of the light, I should turn to the one who started the light in the first place, because he is also the Lord of the light. Talking about the servant of God. They want peace. They want to be close to one another. The victory of the Lamb, it had victory. So this is Christianity. It is the opening of the secrets in Scripture, the disclosing, opening up of the secrets in Scripture. Christian's report says, he took the book from his hand. The Quran doesn't like that way. It is expressed. It puts it in differently. It's just alluded to it rather than say that with Al-Fatiha, how many seals were there to be opened? And the Quran, Al-Fatiha, has seven verses, but they are seven verses. Methana, methana, which means seven verses. Repeat it. But they are mated. So really, they are 14 complete expressions, but in seven verses. So they say the seventh of the repeat, off repeating. It is saying, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So this is verse 1. It is saying two things, that God is al-Rahman and al-Rahim. It is very important in religious understanding. These two expressions of God, taken from the history of the theology of God by those major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and they mean little or nothing. It is nothing to say God is kind and loving. Everybody know that. Ignorant people know that. But it is something to identify something that has been hidden and misused in Scripture and address it with these two attributes. That is exactly what is happening. The Quran is revelation showing something that was not seen. The Quran is revelation, not just talk. Revelation means showing something that was not seen. If it was already seen, then why is it revelation? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So that is another complete verse. The thanks is to God. That is one statement. Rabbil Alameen, Lord of the world. That is another statement. One day we will take our Fatiha and we will see the how to expression comes with each verse for a total of 14 that unlocks not just seven. There are seven seals and seven verses. But each verse has double keys, two keys in the Quran. It says, with God, all of the keys to the heavens and the earth. So the Quran is a book to be read. That means read. But when we read in the Quran what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about revelation, about Quran, you know that you are not only to read the book, it is a book to be studied. It is a book to recite. It is a book to be understood. All of these terms are in Quran that tells us the greatest fear that the religious leaders have is the fear that wants to keep secret will be told openly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that when he gave the messenger of the Quran to Muhammad, the prophet, praise and the peace be upon him. He exposed all of his secrets. I can't expose his secrets. They are already exposed. God has already exposed them. I just read what God has done. But if you cannot make the right connection, you will not even know that God is exposing the secrets because you don't make the right connections. The leaders, the masses of the people, the majority of the people in religion, all of those who are not talking into them as secret students, their private little secret students, they have taught them all in a way so you will never make the connection. You will think this is all just talk. You know that his reference is something, so you cannot make the connection with the reference, so you cannot learn the Quran. So you cannot see the superiority of the Quran. If you do not know what it is talking about in history of religion, many Christianity and Judaism, then you do not know the superiority of the Quran. Lahab, the Quran Surah 111. Surah Lahab, this necklace is a halter of firewood about her neck. It is from the palm tree, but it is not fiber. We understand fiber, you might say. He is questioning the book. Yes, I am. Fiber suggests to me something fine, or fiber of cloth. A fruit is a little fine thing. So this is not a fine thing. It is a halter about her neck. If you can imagine a soft branch made into a necklace and the palm tree has small branches that can be made into a rope. So she's carrying firewood. So the curse is on that. Well, the promise is that she will have the firewood, but it will be like a rope around her neck, like a necklace. Or her neck, meaning that she is going to be destroyed by her own devices. Don't question the teacher to prove yourself to prove your teacher wrong. Question the teacher to understand. I love my teachers, all of them, because they were teaching me, and I thought they deserved my love. If they didn't want to teach me, they would be something different. They have flame passion. The Quran, Surah 111, Ayat 1, perish, father of the flame. So flame is poetry, means passion. Lahab was the uncle of the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. Literally translated means father of the flame. Flame in poetry means passion, and usually passion of anger or love. So literature has established the meaning of fire and flame. So when you speak of a person being full of fire, it means full of anger or full of passion. When you speak of a person having ice in their blood, what do you mean? Very cold-hearted. So it says his woman, Imra, is not white. It is woman. She doesn't get the respect of white because she was a very bad woman and he was a very bad man. So they were not really husband and wife. They are not respected as husband and wife. They were just doing their evils together. It was his woman doing evil with him. So what is the meaning of hatat? Firewood. It is like ropes. If you see basket weaving, then used to be ropes made of wood fiber, grass ropes, I think they called them. It says sajidaha in her neck. But neck is not GD. Ukud is neck. So this is only neck. When you're talking about a woman putting a necklace on, it is talking about the area where the necklace hangs. In this area where she has a necklace was a halter of palm fiber, a rope like a necklace. That is the picture you get, like a rope. And for black people, maybe a noose. They had so many of our people for 100 years. They hung so many of our people for 100 years until I think it went into my genes. I don't like ties. Nothing choking my neck. I don't like it. I used to go to the temple. And as soon as I got away from the brothers, that Muslims, I would take that tie off. I just had to take it off. It is uncomfortable to me. It feels like somebody is choking me a little bit. Heblen means what? It is a rope. But some translators say halter. And a halter is something you put around your neck, like a necklace. What is a halter? It is a necklace to sell cosmetics and costume jewelry. Halter is something that is fixed. It is not something that has been, that is not a halter. If I remember correctly, a halter is not like the regular necklace that has been. The halter has its shape. It stays in that shape. It is kind of a stiff, like a horseshoe. It is a necklace. It is different from the regular necklace. Pardon me. Allah false invisible. So the Quran, Surah 112, Ayat 1-4. Allah is eternal. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayat 3, Allah is seen and unseen. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 62, the believers, saves has no fear, no grief. Unseen forces control, dominate life, change physical form. God has always been present in this world, in his creation, in his signs, and in the activity that we experience as grace of Almighty God. So we know in El-Islam that God is not creation or who was never born, never made, but has existed eternally. And God is seen and unseen. That is, he is evident or apparent, obvious, and also hidden from our perception. But that does not make us feel that God is less real. Objects that are not detectable by the physical are really the most powerful things. So the sun is a ball of fire. It is a distance from us, but it's in the visible energy. Invisible energy reaches us and grows the food that we eat and give us the physical strength that we have. And then in our own makeup, intelligence, working in our lives. And these forces are the real forces that control, dominate our being. So we know that the unseen forces are stronger in our lives as influences. That man who is young, looking healthy, youthful, he can get problems in his life, family, job, problems. And these problems that are invisible can actually change his physical form. He can begin to look old, weak, gray, his hair. And what is this worry? It is nothing that we can see with the eye. We cannot even take a microscope and find it. It is something that has no material body, but look what this force does to our material body. So we have to be, as human beings, believe in the forces other than physical matter. Human beings have this nature. No one had to come and convince human beings that there are forces that you should respect that are non-material. The most primitive, the youngest of civilization come to the belief without science, without preachers coming to preach to them. It is just a natural thing for human beings to come to believe in powers and forces that are above the physical creation. This is the nature in us that leads us to the correct belief in God or to the correct worship of God. So we begin as babies in everything, in worldly knowledge, and we grow into scientific knowledge. Societies begin as babies in spiritual knowledge, and we give into spiritual knowledge. Science tells us that Almighty God has helped science get where, if I remember, reading a book, writing on Einstein, where he was giving credit to Almighty God. I also remember reading a book on the life of the one who invented penicillin. And he was telling how he felt God's presence in his experiment and how God made possible his great success. So we know as Muslims that many great scientists came up in Al-Islam. They are not only men who discovered God's working in their experiment, but they were men who were motivated to become scientists by Al-Islam. So we see evidence of God's working in science and evidence of God's working in the ordinary human life. And it is evident, is convincing proof to us that Almighty God exists. So we do not have to see him as we see each other. In fact, we are coming to right understanding the way we see each other is in our hearts. It's not the way we see each other with our eyes. The way we see each other with our heart is the real thing. The way we see each other with our eyes is not the real thing. So Almighty God wants us to be aware of little things that are happening all around us, in the skies, in the earth, and the activity that goes on between sky and earth. If we would just think all of these things with renewed faith, we would become faithful people. We would know that God exists, and we will know that he has the power to do whatever he wills. Because Quran says, everything in the heavens and the earth bears witness to the existence of Almighty God Most High. So if we had the interest and the time to really look and examine what is going on about us in the sky and on earth and everywhere, we would see plain signs of God and his presence, his great wonders, gifts, his great generosity to man. So man having only God's reaction wouldn't go wrong. Pulsation carries the thought to your mind. Almighty God has made the whole heavens and earth, yourself and everything that exists to give off a kind of message, a kind of pulsation. It carries thoughts to your mind. If we had nothing to listen to but God's creation, we wouldn't go wrong. But when man comes into the picture and begins to stray from God's creation and came with his own idea of what the environment should be like, then his environment begins to influence us, and we get some pulsations from his environment. So what did we have as trouble in our lives comes from bad pulsation made by man, not by Almighty God. The wicked man fears poverty, not God. So when we come out of the house into the streets, we see man's creation. We look at the billboard, and we see what man is suggesting to our mind. And this mind is not man's who fears God. This is man who fears poverty. He wants the billboard to bring us to his store, or to the store where he produced, where he his products are sold. So we wake up in the morning, we turn the TV on, and we get the pulsation from the television. These are not the pulsations from Almighty God's creation. These are the pulsations from the man who wants you to buy the product that he has for sale at some store. So what we have is a world that has been so filled with stations for materialistic man, weak man, that we have to battle for our lives to survive harder than the primitive man had to battle in the wild jungle. Our world is more filled with enemy forces designed to hurt our good nature, vicious forces of the jungle. Voices or forces of wild creatures against man. We can go right now to the jungle, and in a little time, we could establish a peaceful, healthy, lovely society for ourselves. Look how hard it is, society in the modern world. It is because the modern world is more corrupt, more fraught with evil and danger to human life than the jungle ever were. So their minds, the people of this world, are people who like experimentation in their religion. And they hope somebody will come up with a better religion. Catholicism, Protestantism, whatever they hope. Maybe you will come up with something better. But are they looking for something that gives them more freedom to do their work? But this kind of mind is not acceptable in Al-Islam. We cannot experience with our religion to come up with something that pleases us better. We have to accept what God has given us and then make our lives conform to that. God will not allow us to fit our religion to our own desires. We must fit our desire to our religion. And that is a difference between Muslim mind and non-Muslim mind. All praises are due to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah closer to you than your jugular vein. Never doubt that Almighty Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is ever present. He is as close to you as your jugular vein. The Quran says to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and to every believer, the internal corridor, artery, and jugular vein are inside your body. and it carries blood from the head. And if someone cuts the internal carotid artery, there is no more food going to the brain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to you as that sauce that feeds your brain. In fact, he is the sauce that feeds your brain. And if you just turn off the foolishness of this world and apply your senses and listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to the Quran, follow Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, you will gain your life again, and you will get your good senses. Allah sends with knowledge, not spiritual emotion. Man's strongest part, intelligence, that must lead to spirit. Spirit without intelligence is nothing but forces of destruction. So where is the strongest part of the man? Is it his spirit? No. The spirit is the strongest part of man for destruction. But there is something stronger in man for salvation, somebody might say. I believe the spirit is the strongest for salvation. Spirit without intelligence is nothing but force for destruction, forces of destruction. Intelligence must lead spirit. Do you think God is God because he is some emotional existence? No. He is God because he is just. He is the highest in knowledge. He embodies all knowledge. He has all the knowledge. The book says he is light, knowledge, truth. So if God was only spirit, emotionalism, or emotion, he wouldn't be light. He would be darkness. What light can we find in spirit unless the spirit is lit with knowledge? Allah as-Samad, the Quran, Surah 112, say Allah is one. So that is why it is said in the Quran, God says, Kul, say he, God, is one. The God is eternal. He always has existed. That's what it means. Al-Samad, resisting anything that will affect him. Nothing can affect them. Nothing can penetrate him. He Al-Samad, the eternal, that exists anything that wants to affect, that resists anything that wants to affect him, and that includes life and death. Touch him not this life you have, no mortal life touches him not, the death touches him not, but he is the living and the eternal, the source of life for everything. He never gives birth to anything, to something like a father or a girl or a boy. It has direct reference to a boy, though. Never did he give birth to a son. And never was he a son born to someone. And never has there existed anything like him. The Quran, Surah 113, Ayat 1 to 3, Allah. It's a separation of darkness from light. So the emphasis is a separation. And when man begins to see the distinction between intelligent guidance and the selfish use of a thing, then that's the drowning of his mind. Necessity is breathing, but it has an allusion to the soul of the individual person. So this is coming from the individual person, and he breathes into something called the knot. In religious symbolism, rope or strings are referred to spiritual knowledge, using for not. So it is confusing in spiritual knowledge, in the interpretation of revealed knowledge. Not is translated into firm resolution. So your conviction. So this idea is that faith is good for you. Then some suggest comes from another person into yours, and your resolve, you're made up, make the shake the unity of that made-up mind to break the resolve. So there is no inspiration coming from any human soul. It comes from the knowledge. You have nothing concrete to say until knowledge touches you. Prophet Muhammad didn't say he was inspired before he said, Bismillah, read in the name of your Lord who created. Wisdom comes from his mouth. We see the evidence of his inspiration. Rab suggests that the work is to bring the base elementary things to its complete potential. Maturity, bringing that which is in its raw, weak, undeveloped form to complete development. He is the Rab of the daybreak. Dawn is referring to proper education, knowledge of right thinking attitude. He is the one who takes it as the early beginning, early development of man's intellect and his soul, rescued from evil. It is the drawing of the intellect that enables man to protect himself against the latest harm in created things. Not the harm is acting itself out, but it's latent. It's a possible harm there. The wrong approach to it, the misuse of it, will bring bad consequences or harm. Allah has not created any harm. He has created it for benefit. But the absence of knowledge causes us to use it wrongly, approach it wrongly. The Quran Surah 113:1-4. Care equals God's harm share. The Quran Surah 3, Ayat 117, Allah wrong not but is from self. Bukhari, page 9, 525b, Allah good only accept good. 40 Hadith, page 84, 25, sex charity. So the whole book, the Quran, is a prayer. But the phrase, I seek refuge, this is asking for help. And one can say these prayers. I am pointing to the universality of Al-Islam, the Quran, the Word of God, and the Sunnah, the Uswa of Prophet Muhammad, prayers in the peace be upon it. Share means harm. The phrase says, seek refuge from the harm. They say evil. The Arabic term share means harm. That's with benefit is the Arabic term, that's share. Refer to that which takes away from the value and quality of something. Whatever hurts something, it's shared. It's more than evil. It is harm. Evil suggests an intent on somebody's part, right? But there is no intent in matter to hurt us. God created matter to serve us well. He didn't create anything to hurt us. He created this whole world and even fire, but he didn't create fire to hurt us. He created the fire to comfort and aid us, not to hurt us. But many people get the share of the fire. It is not because God intended it that way. He did not intend any share. That is why God said, it is not God who harms you. It is you who harm your own soul. Sometimes it is done in complete ignorance. Don't know the proper use or the approach, the things, etc. So we get the harm of it instead of the intent that God intended for us. That is the benefit and not the harm. God intended nothing but good. Allah good only accept good sex charity. Respond means your sense are working. React means your senses are not necessarily working. In the Quran it says, say I seek refuge with the Lord of the dawn from the daybreak, from the harm of what is created or what can say or what we can say, from the harm of what he created. So there is a benefit, and harm is everything. They say evil, this water, even this water that we think is harmless. I'm not talking about when there is pollution in it. The pure water, you can get a sickness, and even the water will have to be taken off of your food list. We will have to give it to you some other way, right? The doctor will take you off of it, and you can't take the water directly. You will have to have it take the water some other kind of way, in food or something, or even though through the vein. In some situations, you can't drink it by mouth. Everything has a benefit, and it also has a harm. And when the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers, the followers of him, advice for the sexual act, he said, there is a reward. I guess he said it to awaken their mind to a problem that they had. And the problem of some people to react to things rather than respond to things. Respond means your senses are working. React doesn't necessarily mean your good senses are working. So there are people that just react things. This results over the years in people having problems with sex, illegitimate birth, the loss of wives. So man in his culture, that's a dirty thing, a sin thinking. The dirty sex, that is sin. Yet he keeps sinning. So he says that he doesn't stop. So the prophet followers asked, how is this good in sex? He said, if you did it unlawful, wouldn't there be a punishment? There is a share. And the kadira in everything, and God has kadira. He has set the balance for this good and evil. He has put it in the balance. And if you respect the balance, the good. If you disrespect the balance, you get the harm of the measures of it. It is a difficult word to translate. It means God is creating it. He has already set the rule for governing these things. The rule was set by God before we were even created in the matter itself. He has set the rules and has determined how the creation will yield benefit and goodness and how it will cause or bring harm or loss. It is all set by God and has already been determined by him in the making of the creation itself. Gashif and man only intense darkness, it is also intense corruption. Nesefati, evil suggestion into your firm resolution. From the harm of the evil translated, it's an intense darkness. But this word Gashif is not only intense darkness, it is also intense corruption. It is a darkness that suggests, hints at filth, corruption, offensive things to the good taste of human beings. In civilized societies, when it comes, we know with darkness also comes corruption. So with ignorance comes also corruption of morals, the culture, and the life, and from the harm of the necessity. And they translate it to literally from the evil of the whisperer who whispers or blows into the night. So this sounds like witchcraft, which it is. It has reference to witchcraft. But let's get the better understanding. As one community gives, and I think one translator gives too, from the harm of the evil, the one who casts evil suggestions into your firm resolution to break the tie of your conviction or your resolution. So you have resolved to obey God, to stay away from these harms of forbidden things. And here comes the shaky, the sneaky caster of suggestions. He casts the suggestions without the knowing what he has cast. Before you know it, he's got you in trouble. His language has so much to stubble that you thought it was a good advice. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 4, whisper into the heart. So whisper into the hearts, not the mind at first. Then we begin to give our minds to the work, the weak thoughts that we have let our heart become fastened to. Affection, sentiment can tap and trap us quicker field of logic. So our feelings just go blindly. The emotions are blind. The Quran Surah 114, Ayat 1-5, Rab, birth, evolve. So the first line says, I seek refuge in the one who gives the birth and then develops it until it reaches completion, then provides for it everything that it needs for its existence. What does that for us? Who does that for us? On a human or lower level, it is our parents. After being born out of the parents, we are nourished and raised by them. They care for us and help us go stage by stage until we become adults in our hearts, in our minds, and in our bodies. After we become strong adults and have reached our full growth as men, our parents leave their wealth with us if they have accumulated it to carry on for them after they are gone. So man, as a father for community, man has had the freedom to move out from the home and build up strength and become the leaders of the world. The women had to stay home and carry the babies 9 months and raise children. So the man has become the ruler in the world scene. He has become the ruler in the world. He is the one that acts as the father for the community or for the nation. We leave the father's house and come outside as young men. We take on a wife, get a home of our own, and become a father. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 2, refuge from kings. But we still come under another father. He's not called father. He was called king in the days when this book was revealed. Today, they call him president and other rulers over the country or the nation. It comes out from under the father of the house as a young man and out into the city life or country life. There we fall under a bigger father who called king, president, and whatnot. Then many of us soon learn that the king is not a father that's worthy of us to worship. Father couldn't hold me, so I come out and feel under the law. King, pretty soon I learned that the king makes mistakes. The king is not worthy of me worshiping him. Then the man turns and worships something else. He grows to worship as God. He comes against the king with the divine authority that he gets from God, and comes against father with the authority of the king. So when man grows like this, he's just growing up as God has ordained or willed it that he grows. So he never really becomes grown up until he comes into contact with God. Many men worship their parents. Others worship their political leaders or their king or president. Worship their deities, worship the deities of their God. But it is not always true that their God is the real God. Man now has in his nature growing desire to become so powerful or so mature that he can accept that father in the cause to be that image that he worships. Then he knows a higher level, and he can accept that. That's the king to be imagined or worshiped for him. Then he grows to a higher level, and he can't accept that the president or the king are the images of worship for him. Then he grows to another level, and he refuses to accept God that he once bowed down to and worship. if we worship our parents and our rise from babies to a higher that God wants us at one time or another, we are going to live to outgrow the parent and to see that the parent is not that thing that we should worship at one time or another. We are going to outgrow the president or the king, and we are going to that, and they are not what we should worship at one time or another. We are going to outgrow our own command, God, and we are going to realize that these gods are too small for us to worship, family structure to government. In this chapter so far, we see that the rise of the what they, all primitive society begins as selecting there to be chief over the families or over the tribes, and they would follow, obey, and worship father. The tribe grows and multiplies. It becomes too much for one family man to do. So he has to select future female families, men to serve in his cabinet or his government. He becomes a leader over families and over tribes. He becomes a king or a president. Then they grow, and wealth accumulates. Problems accumulate. The accumulation of wealth and human problems become so great that they worship king anymore. The people have to turn to their God. They make for themselves a God to turn to of their own mind and of their own desire. To have refuge from the king, the mind of the people, continues to grow because God is coming. It grows so big that they can't worship the God that they worship yesterday, today. They throw down. They worship. Then they begin to think that they are the God. Worship nature. Now the man has gotten fed up with the God that he has made, and he has something worshiping in his heart. He is going to repent and same old thing. Again, the first man and his ignorance let nature worship in his heart and mind, in his heart, and made him worship nature. So man comes to rule over nature, rises to become king, and to break from king and worship deities or gods. Something rises in his heart when he gets fed up with the God that he worships, and he sees that they failed him. Something worshiped in his heart. There are no gods. I am God. Gen means Gentile, who follows emotions. Gen, who follow their emotions. Don't think that this definition doesn't fit. People, today is modern times. It referred then to savage, wild-like people who gave themselves to emotional outbursts and don't fall under the rule of knowledge. So we have many people, love part of that, won't give themselves to knowledge to submit to an ordinary life. They follow their feelings, their impulses, their emotions. They are just like trash waiting for a wind to come. The wind of foolish joy comes, sweeps the trash up, and carries it in the air. Carried in the air, it fills that up. But soon the wind stops blowing, and the trash is back down under the feet of the people again. Can mass around the world for Satan? So the jinn are those who don't profess to believe in God. They give themselves to their wild passion or their wild habits in nature. Nas is the name given to in the Quran to the people who profess a belief in God. In this chapter, you have something called Nas. So this is another word for Satan or the devil. So devil in the heart thinking, so what is the Holy Quran telling us? In this chapter, it is telling us that the devil is in the heart of the people. The devil is in your thinking, in your wicked desire. So when this thing grows in you, it makes you become a devil. We have devils amongst Gentiles, and we have devils amongst religious people. We have to seek God's protection from everybody. We seek his protection from the parent who wants to be our God and who wants to stand as a block keeping us from worshiping God. We seek his protection from the king, the political rulers, or the president who stands in the way and wants to keep the people from giving themselves the God direction. We seek his protection from man, who are of two categories. Some don't profess to believe in God. They say, I follow what I want to follow. We seek protection from them because the devil has grown up in their hearts and in their minds and has made them become a devil. Devil grows in your heart, thinking for weakness, and in your mind, thinking for weakness, you have the germ of the devil. When that germ dominates your whole being, you have become a devil. You don't have to be out of the church to be a devil. You can be in the church and be a devil. That lets us know exactly where the devil gets his birth and how he becomes from a living being walking on the earth. That chapter also tells us that growth of worship and how God has been growing and moving constantly in the people. He has been moving them from inferior belief and inferior worship to higher belief and higher worship. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We went a little further past our time this evening because we wanted to complete this. And next Wednesday and Thursday, we will start with the Ramadan section. So we thank you, our honorable listening audience. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank you, and we didn't mean to keep you so long, but we wanted to finish this. And may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. Also, we thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and protect us, keep us strong, strengthen our feet, and guide our steps. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.